Good Monday, everybody. Welcome to the best of BTL Bass Talk Live, where we look back at some of the vintage shows that we've done over the previous 10 years. All right, everybody. Matthew, he is on Grand Lake as I am cutting this best of show, and hopefully the Grasshopper will get things done on Grand Lake at the coast of this week to where he fulfills his dream of making the FLW Tour. Wish him the best, and I'm going to be talking to him hopefully today and see how his practice is going so far. But he is on the road for a couple of weeks, so we're doing best of shows this week, and then next week we will have in-studio guests, or I will have a guest live via Skype for our shows next week. All right, here we go. The best of show number one. And recently we had Carl Jakobsen on the show with his victory, just an incredible final day on Lake Tenkiller. Well, I thought we'd go back to July 30th, 2014, the first time that Carl was on BTL. He was actually getting ready for an open event on Lake Champlain, and pretty cool stuff. He was actually in 2014 fishing all nine. There were nine open events that year, and he was trying to earn a spot on the Bassmaster Elite Series. And look, here we are 5 years later, and the man finally got his blue trophy. So good stuff on there. Also, Matt and I talk a little bit about, probably the worst bad beat in poker history at the World Series of Poker in the one drop. And also talk a little pizza on Lake Champlain. Hopefully everybody can remember what happened when Tim Horton just went to the dock and ordered a pizza and kind of waited out his victory on Champlain. So a good show tomorrow. Another best of, followed up by our final best of show on Wednesday. That's it. Everybody enjoy Monday best of BTL.
Seems to catch the fish that can't be caught, or it catches big ones or whatever. I mean, I don't know what
catches the fish that can't be caught.
That's a great statement.
No, you're just sick individuals here. All right, check this out.
We're sick. You told me he slam dunked it.
He's in sixth grade. Oh, come on. Okay. And I want to know what people out there think. I want to see it on the instant feedback.
The nature boy doesn't know.
You went to class. What did you learn about the third person?
Come on, Nate. Anyway, we talk bass fishing. And anything else that we want to talk about? And Drew, what are you doing with the Mountain Dew bottle?
Did a little green goodness this morning.
We got 1 minute before the show goes downhill. There's a warning. Drew's likely to blurt out.
Blurt out downhill.
Controversial
one after
statements.
One.
No, hang on. Everybody, Mark Jeffries along with Matt the Nature Boy Pangrack. This is BTL in the PM. Yes, it's not 11 a.m. Central Time. It is 7 p.m. Central Time. And instead of coming back to the house and going to sleep, me and the Nature Boy decided to do a show. Yes, I've been in Tulsa all week. I'm tired. But we're going to do a good show tonight, my friend.
We're like 45 seconds into this show.
Yeah.
I already think we should do this once a week.
An evening show?
Yeah.
I like it.
I know we're having trouble getting in multiple shows in a week. I know that might be a little too much to ask of our producer here to actually have three shows a week as is billed.
I kind of like that idea maybe, though.
But
you know, school starts on the 12th, so that may be a possibility.
I mean, it's a different vibe. You get wiser with age. I mean, there's 8 hours longer to mull over the things we're going to say.
We have kind of
a dinner, a little morale building amongst us. Maybe we get Drew in the mix. Roll in
You've
for an hour.
You've convinced me. All right, I'm going to examine it. I will analyze it.
You know, especially as it gets into fall, it's going to be dark. kids are going to be doing homework.
No, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
By
not
the way,
my kids. I don't...
People are looking at the screen, and it says, Starkist presents
Charlie the Tuna.
I found this old commercial. I'm going to play it later for you, but we'll get to that here in a few minutes.
You ever been in a small room when someone opens a can of Starkist tuna?
Not a good thing.
I was on a plane and someone had a little packet of zesty tuna behind me.
Hey, a lot of people like this evening idea, man. Instant feedback is blowing up here. So consider it done. Consider it done. We will have one show a week that we will do in the PM.
Not with me for the next month.
Well, you're on the road. We can still do an evening show.
Right.
You'll just be live via Skype. Yeah. Live via Skype. We'll do that, man. I like it. All right. All kinds of stuff to talk about. We're going to have Mike McClellan on. And
where is he? Where is Mike McClellan?
Somewhere in the East. I don't know where he is.
He's probably getting...
He's driving
somewhere.
He's probably
upgrading his boat and truck insurance with, what, Geico? To go to Philadelphia? Probably getting a little bit of extended coverage on that as he goes to the city of brotherly love.
I'm sure he took care of it.
You know what reminds me before we get into this? You know, Elite Series going on next weekend.
And who else? Who else?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, we got the Aussie, Carl Jochumsen.
Who's having a great year trying to make it to the Elite.
I would think that BTO would be big time for him. But since he has a very popular blog on Bassmaster.com chronicling his quest. He's fishing all 9 opens this year.
It's insane.
And can I say catching their ass? Is that acceptable?
It's
statement?
Late night. Oh, it's only 7 p.m., but that's okay.
Well, that's what he's been doing.
Yes, he has.
So, anyway, we're going to have him on.
Continue.
He's not going to give away what he's doing at Champlain. It's more about his little 6-week journey that he's on. But it reminds me, remember when I first started working for you?
And
you had taught me how to update the quick flips.
Yes.
And you had also just ventured into the wonderful world of non-fishing sports talk show with Mark Zona.
Yes.
What was the name of that show?
Z Sports Talk.
Did it at a batting cage in Oklahoma City?
It was a hitting academy. A sports and hitting academy is what it was.
And I posted a quick flip that I had written that I thought was very clever. And I said, home of the World Series champion Pittsburgh Phillies.
Yes.
And you called me, and I was fishing the Wednesday night jackpot on Lake Thunderbird. And you called me 16 times in a 1 hour and 47 minute span.
Yes, I did.
And I thought I was going to get fired because you said, I have just launched this with Mark Zona and now people are looking at the Bass Zone and it looks like I don't know
anything about sports.
And you're like, and on top of it, their name is the damn Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies. And you said Pittsburgh. So I had to go in and change it. I thought I was going to get fired.
That was a long time ago.
Anyway, that reminded me of that. Yeah. That was the last time Philly came up.
It's a long time ago.
Up.
All right, yeah. I have to mention this, and then we're going to get Mike McClellan on the phone. Did you see, it is all over the internet, it was huge, the $1 million buy-in at the World Series of Poker, $1 million buy-in, the worst bad beat in the history of the World Series of Poker. Have you seen it?
No.
Unreal, dude. You know, they've only been doing this $1 million buy-in.
Like 4 years now. It's for one drop, isn't it? They
raise
funds for it. And there's about, 25, 30 guys who buy in. And
yeah, basically, both guys go all in. They both have pocket aces. One guy has the ace of hearts. The flop comes out, diamond, heart, heart.
And he's got 3 hearts to the flush.
All right. The guy over here still thinks that he's going to
split the pot.
And it's going to be a
chop.
A chop. All right. 4th Street comes out. Another heart.
Got to be a heart. You got to go runner, runner.
The river. The 4th heart.
A dagger.
Lost $1 million when he had pocket aces and the other guy had pocket aces. Unreal.
Cool.
Very, very. I've never seen that happen before. Now, we have a poker story ourselves. Remember what took place when we were in Alabama there, Nature Boy? Never seen that happen before either. What was on the flop?
What are you talking about?
You were there. It was during the vicious...
Oh, my gosh. This was, and we have photographic evidence
of this.
Yes,
we do.
We are playing a house game. It just was like a $10 buy-in. Jeffries is dealing. There's 8-10 guys around the table. Jeffries deals, and this is a shuffled deck, an in-order royal flush of hearts.
Never, we even looked
10
up the
jack,
odds.
Queen, king, ace.
That's what it reminded me of. When I saw that, I know it's no comparison, but that's what I thought of.
I thought you were going a different direction, but
no.
I forgot you. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about
on.
That at all. All right, the other thing, I think I mentioned, obviously, I was at the coach's clinic, and you see a lot of people there that you haven't seen in a long time, and I'm standing in the aisle. Okay, I saw Vince Foulkes, ex Elite Series pro. He was there.
We like to say former.
What'd I say?
Ex.
Oh, okay.
Like
former.
Yeah, okay.
I get it. Saw him there, and then I'm standing in the aisle right in front of the Cox High School Hub booth.
Right.
And somebody puts their arm on my shoulder hand.
Oh, mistake number one. Never approach Jeffries from behind.
But
with
see,
body contact.
You know when it's either a male or a female hand. At least I can.
Okay.
I could tell. I was like, that's a female hand on my shoulder. I don't know too many females here. So I slowly turn around. Guess who it is? It's former Elite Series pros wife of Jeff Reynolds.
Huh.
She was getting some award for her cross-country coaching.
Wow, I thought she was picking up another check from Jeff Reynolds that he's won locally after pillaging the village of Oklahoma of all their tournaments.
No. So talk to her for a little while. Jeff's doing great. He's doing a lot of stuff with Wade Middleton.
Yeah, you know, we really ran a story on him last year.
Yeah. Okay. And, you didn't expect to see.
Yeah.
I asked Vince, do you miss it?
I guarantee he said no.
He said no. He said, I miss the guys. I miss a little bit about it, but I am very, very happy at what I'm doing now. And he's
another guy in Norman who's the exact same way is Brad Hallman.
Yeah.
He honestly does not miss it. He's having a great time fishing around here. Making
and
a little money.
Winning some money, too.
Heck yeah.
That's the thing. And the other thing was the big discussion. And folks across the nation, simple. Very simple situation that is dramatically complicated.
It sounds like my life.
I'm not talking about the Nature Boy's life. I'm talking about the fact that when you hit a woman in the face...
Oh, don't even talk about the OU guy.
...and break bones in a woman's face...
That's a no-go.
That's a serious problem.
You're talking about the
Joe
dude
Mixon.
From Oregon who is came to OU and was at a Norman bar and all.
It wasn't even a bar. You're way off base. Have you not done the research on this?
No, I clearly haven't. I this is not.
He was at Pickleman's and got into a pickle.
At Pickleman's?
Yes.
Oh my!
You didn't know that?
I didn't know it was at Pickleman's.
It was Pickleman's. Folks, Pickleman's is a deli shop that's open till like 4 in the morning.
Extremely crisp deli sandwiches.
Yes.
Let's just leave it at that.
And got
let's
himself
get back
in
to
a
the,
pickle.
Let's get back to the
I can't believe
the,
you haven't heard anything about this.
I have
this.
Heard about it, but let's get back to the Bass Talk part of...
Why are you dissing me? Why are you not wanting...
I'm not. There's only two of us, and I don't know enough about the situation to carry to
how do you not know about this?
I guess I don't look at Facebook.
Oh, a little inside joke there, friends. I haven't looked at Facebook. I wouldn't know. I don't know what to tell you on that one, Nature Boy.
Are we ready to talk to Mike McClellan yet?
What is your deal? Why are you spazzing out all of a sudden?
I'm not.
Do you think it's the right thing to do to hit a woman?
Absolutely not.
In any circumstance, unless they have a gun or a knife or Something like that.
Absolutely not. I don't even think it's right to hit a man unless he deserves it.
Oh, jeez.
But I will poke someone on Facebook.
I wouldn't know because I don't have any friends and I don't want any Facebook friends. Can you dislike on Facebook?
No.
You can on YouTube, though. Can't you? I guess you go thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs up. It's the Roman method.
All right, let's take a break. Try and get a hold of Mr. McClellan. He is somewhere east. Everybody hang with us this evening. We'll be right back here on BTL.
Far serious about catching fish. That HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish-finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish-finding system with LiveSight Sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight Sonar 30-day challenge. If LiveSight Sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
Gamagot's the G Finesse Series. In my opinion, the G Finesse Series is the only lineup of hooks you need for any fishing you do.
But I know a lot of guys haven't used this hook yet. G Finesse Series has the nano coat on the hooks. And the nano coating makes the hooks sharper, smoother, for a better hookup ratio.
20% stronger than black nickel. Wow, that is incredible. That's a lot of strength.
My Gamagot's G Finesse Series. Perfect finesse fishing for you.
Check out the G Finesse series of hooks by Gamagatsu.
The heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're going to be drop-shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it doesn't seem like it likes it as much, but for coming off the spool on spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm gonna throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong tensile strength that's not gonna give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough for it to get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're gonna slack line them, go shooter.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
Hey guys, Cliff Perch here with AFCO. I've got the new camo hooded Reaper. It's going to be a great thing both for fishing and hunting this fall. I can tell you a couple of the features about it. Got the face mask like all the Reapers do, vented in front. It's got the fleece on the inside, so it's really comfortable. It's super warm. When you come down to the pocket, it's got this little snap system called Block Tapey, and it's silent. You know, it doesn't make that sound that other snaps and other systems that Hook It Together make. Great for hunting, and it's going to keep that stuff in your pocket.
I got my power pulled down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pulled down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man.
All right, we are back here on a Wednesday evening. Mark and the Nature Boy. And I don't know if you saw it or not, Matt, but Dwight Slade was actually in Tulsa this week, so it reminded me about his remarkable look-alike of Mr. Kevin Van Dam. Do you remember that? You can't remember yesterday. There you go.
Is he a comedian, wasn't it?
Yeah. Here, let me... Hang on. Let me get rid of the titles here. See? They're twins.
If you put a hat on them, definitely.
They're twins. So he was at the...
I don't know. Van Damme's face is slightly more...
That's because it's a little bit closer.
Van Damme still has a little bit more trustworthy. He looks a little more... Like, if you're going to leave $10,000 in unmarked bills with one guy, Van Damme's face looks... I think most people would go with Van Damme. Just from the... They didn't know any of them, either of them.
Well, that's because he's all supplemented out in that photo.
Now that there's a trustworthiness in the eyes that I think shines through.
Whatever. All right. Mr. McClellan, I guess he is out of cell phone range. Once again, folks.
Or got carjacked.
He is somewhere east. Have no idea. Headed to Philadelphia or kind of that way or somewhere or something. So he told me he'd come on. So in the meantime, we're going to go to Carl a little early.
And I would just preface this with, it's 8:30 there already.
Yeah.
The night before, today is Wednesday, right?
Yes.
The night before the big derby on the big pond up north.
Yes.
You think all the pizzeria vendors up there are hoping they're the ones that get the call this year?
I really don't know. Don't know.
Can you call in and order the Timmy Horton?
They're not going to know what that is.
I'm just saying, on Lake Champlain.
I bet some of the people watching right now and listening on iTunes have no idea what that is.
Can you just call like Joe's Pizzeria and say, "Yeah, I'll take the Timmy Horton," and they'll bring a large pepperoni to the launch ramp.
I don't know.
Obviously referring to his dominating Elite Series victory the last time the Elite Series was there.
Ticonderoga came
back early from the tie, so early.
He ordered a pizza.
He ordered a pizza and sat in his boat for 3 hours.
Yes, he did.
You know what they call that in my neck of the woods?
What's
Mark?
That?
Running show.
I knew you were going to say it. Running show. All right, let's bring in Carl. Hang on there. Carl, you're there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. How you going, boys? How you doing?
Doing well, man. It's almost 8:30. And first of all, man, it's a little chilly up there, isn't it?
It's not right now. I'm in T-shirt and shorts, but early in the morning, up until about 10 o'clock, you kind of got your jacket and pants and stuff on. But I've thrown a pair of gloves and stuff for the run in the morning. I think it's going to be pretty cold straight up. But, yeah, it heats up pretty quick.
Isn't it like winter in Australia, though?
It's the middle of winter.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're used to...
I'm loving it. This is heaven.
All right. No, I noticed when we looked at the forecast for up there, they're talking about record lows and real close to you. They're talking about temps in the 40s early.
No, I think it's come back up now. You're looking at mid 50s and then a high of 72 for tomorrow. So it's not too bad. It's bearable. It's just right.
Before we get started, let me do the 30-second rundown of Carl for those people who are not aware of this. And Carl, if I am wrong in any of these facts, just interrupt me and correct. This is Carl Jochumsen in 30 seconds. We'll start now. We'll work over. Okay, currently fishing all 9 Bassmaster Opens, attempting to qualify for the Bassmaster Elite Series. In really good shape in the Centrals, one to go there. Decent shape in the Northerns. This is only the second one here.
Yep.
How are you doing in the Southern? Didn't you bomb one of the Southerns?
Yeah, I bombed one and made a 12 cut, yeah. So I'm 50
okay.
Second.
Yeah, so you got a decent chance in 3 anyway. Yep. Like 15-time world champ. He's the Kevin Van Dam of Australia. They catch these fish that look like a cross between a spotted bass and a white bass. He's like wins everything over there. He's on all the TV shows. He says, I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to come to America. He does all this stuff. Fishes the Opens. Comes back anyway. He's been trying for like 3 years. Go to BassZone.com after the show. We've done like 3 or 4 stories with him. You can get the whole story. So anyway, that's why we're talking to an Australian in New York right now.
There you have it.
So Carl is like 6 weeks now. He's in practice for a week fishing open. And at the end of the 6 weeks, 2 of the Opens, the Centrals and the Northerns, will be done, right? Have I said anything totally wrong yet?
No, that's all
okay.
Correct.
It will be done, and hopefully Carl will be on the Elite Series, and fame and fortune will follow him, and the sponsors will flow freely, and he'll have massive parties.
It all sounds exactly right.
So now we can get back to it. So it's cold, but not chilly.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's good. It's just nice. It's the weird thing is there's like the worst mosquitoes up here like you've ever seen. It's like as soon as it gets dark, like you can't go outside. It's nothing like I've ever seen before. It's crazy.
You wear one of those head nets?
You just about need to.
Wow.
I need like one of the Australian Akubras with the little corks all around it.
Whoa. Slow down. Wait, run that by us commoners, us peasants, once again. You need what?
In Australia, like, Crocodile Dundee didn't wear it, but one of them wore like a big Akubra with like strings around it that they hang corks off and it keeps the flies and mosquitoes off your face.
I still have no idea.
I'm not going to wear one of them.
Do you have one with you?
No, I don't. I've never worn one, never will.
I'd like to get a picture of that. You'd look good in that, Matt. Maybe the next time you go on a date, you should wear that.
I think it's doing good.
It couldn't hurt, that's for sure.
All right. Let's talk about your preparation for Champlain. Did you split up your practice? Did you go north a couple days, stay south a couple days? What'd you do, Carl?
Okay, I split it up, actually split it into 3 sections. I spent the first day up north. I went into Mitchkoi Bay. And I looked for solely largemouth up there, and that was on the Saturday. So I got here, I drove for 18 hours straight on that last day, got here at 1 in the morning, and then got to the Adam and went north. And then the next day, I drove down the next morning down to Ticonderoga and spent the whole day the next day. I just put one day on each to get a feel of what I wanted to do. And I liked what I saw down south, so I stayed one more day down south. So I stayed there on the Monday, and so I put 2 solid days in down there. And then the Tuesday, I went back up north, but I worked my way from the Plattsburgh Ramp up to Missisquoi and fished for smallmouth, then largemouth, pretty much all the way up, hit the islands. And kind of just searched that way. And then today, from a half day, I just went south in between the Plattsburgh Ramp and Ticonderoga, sort of trying to find something that I could hit on the way back if I was to go south.
Do you have that, like, written down on a legal pad or something? Like, how did you remember that?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Hey, like, I have one question. Any muskie?
Yeah. I haven't caught a muskie, but just those big pike, they're not muskie, they're just, I caught a pike that looked like muskie, they were that big, but they weren't muskie.
No muskie. Have you tangled with one of those yet in your adventures over in America?
in at Sinclair last year. The year before Lake Sinclair, I hooked my fifth smallmouth as a 2-pounder, and I was fighting it in, and a muskie come up and tried to eat it off my line.
That's unfortunate.
That's as close as I've got to one.
How many miles have you driven in the past 3 years, Carl?
I put my first old truck, I put nearly 40,000 miles on it, and then this truck has almost 90,000 miles on it.
So what do you do with all your stuff when you go back to Australia?
I've got a place to keep it now. I used to have it at Fred's.
And
then we used to put it in Fred Rumbanis in Bixby.
And tell them why you don't do it anymore. They got young kids, and Julie was like, dude, Carl's coming in at like 1 or 2 in the morning, and we're wondering, I'm trying to explain to Jackson
Fred had a huge schedule this year with the Elites and FLWs, and then it was just complete opposite with the Opens. And Gene Eisman from Hydrowave has helped us out with a place to stay and keep my boat and stuff like that. And he's got it's kind of like a man cave with it. I can keep my truck and boat in there, and it's been really good.
All right, cool. Now, have you made a decision yet, or will it be made tomorrow? Are you going north or south?
That's a horrible question.
No, it's not.
Why would you ask him that question?
It's simple. Okay, let me narrow it down for you, since the Nature Boy is objecting. Smallmouth or largemouth?
I'm going to go largemouth fishing solely, and, you know, the weather would have to get really bad, but I'm happy to say I'm running south, and it would have to be life-threatening not to go, so I'm heading that way. But the thing is, I want the weather to really blow up so I can't go south, because I have a spot way up north that I want to go to, but I can't go there if I can go south. So I was hoping one of the days it really blew up and I could go north and hit those fish and then, the next day run down. But it looks like I'm going to be able to get down south every day.
Basically what you're saying, you're hoping the weather makes the decision for you.
Yeah, I was hoping, the weather would, make it so I can go, okay, I've got to go and hit these fish, because I think I can get a huge bag there, but I can't go there knowing I can go down south. But, smallmouth, I had 18 pounds of smallmouth today, very fast. So they kind of worry me, because the guys that are going to get onto them are going to catch them easy. But these fish I found in between here and Ticonderoga, and they come pretty fast. They're very easy to catch. They're almost untouched. So I've got a good spot to come back if I've got one fish, I've got a cull, and I leave a little bit earlier. But I think I've probably had one of the best practices I've ever had here. I'm very happy right now with what I've got going.
It's a great lake. First time you've been there, or have you been there multiple times?
I've just been here once, but I spent over a week here. So 2 years ago, I fished here for a week.
It's an awesome place. I mean, you could just about do anything that you want.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, you can catch them, any technique. Whatever you're confident in doing, that's what you need to do. You can't fish the way you think they're going to get caught or anything. You need to put 100% confidence in what you're doing and what you're good at, because that's what will catch them if you're good at that, But it's just that size factor. I caught over 40 bass up north on the first day. I swung on everything just trying to catch a 3.5-plus pound, and I never got a really big bite. I only had one area where I did, and I shook them off, but it was just crazy. There's just fish catching smallmouth, largemouth, and pike just all day. My hands were just killing me, same sort of thing. So it's a pretty cool place.
Have you seen any water chestnut patches?
Yeah, there's a little bit down south.
Okay.
There's a little bit, but it hasn't really grown yet.
Okay, that stuff is insane when it really, really gets going late in the summer.
Yeah.
It's the funnest best stuff. Yeah.
It's the best stuff to bring a frog through and stuff, because it's just a little bit lighter for them to blow through, but they're just not in it right now. I haven't had a bite in it. But yeah, I'm pretty, I'm nervous. I haven't made the run from here all the way down south. I'm just sort of doing it. And tomorrow I've driven about halfway. So, it's going to be interesting.
Did you get a good number at least?
What's that?
Did you get a good number at least?
I did. I got boat 98, which is ideal. Like, that's just where I wanted to be. I got the same check-in both days. I'm doing at 3:15, which is good. I didn't want like a super early one and a super late one. So I've just got two solid days. So everything is in my favour right now. It's up to me to make the right decisions and adjust when I'm down there if things change.
All right.
Mind to lose.
The fun stuff, and this is really why I wanted to kind of have you on for BTL in the evening, was, it's work, and you can say grind, and there's pressure involved, and it's a do-or-die situation, but you really have an ideal setup and just an amazing next couple of months ahead of you, just as far as fishing and being able to focus, and for the working stiffs who are going to be in an office 40 hours a week, just kind of describe what you're going to be doing the next 6 weeks. And I don't think the word odyssey is far-fetched in this situation.
It's a tough one to kind of explain, because it's very hard. Like, when they see on Facebook and Instagram or what I do, it kind of gives a false thing. Like, I know I'm like the luckiest person ever, and I love what I do, but the sacrifices and the work and the things that go into that are huge, you know, and it's very hard to get those things across. But without saying all the things and the sacrifice that you have to make, I love what I do, you know.
What is the next 6 weeks? I mean, talk about you are here for one goal. Purpose, mission is why you are in the country right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're fishing the next 6 weeks, focused 100% on the opens. And folks, I fished some, Carl's put his single mattress out the back of his truck and slept in the hotel room with me and stuff at like, you know, team tournaments at Grand, and I fish with them. And Carl is daylight to dark. The TV never goes on. He doesn't eat until his tackle is done. The boat cover's on. The thing's plugged in. It's 9 o'clock. He's on his iPad, and the only thing he's got is his mapping pulled out, looking at his trails from that day, and it's asleep, and he's gone before, you know, I'm up to go out and practice for me. And this is just for a club thing. And this is every day for you for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. I left Texas. I went to the ICAST. Flew from Florida back to Texas, hooked my boat up, left that next morning at 4 in the morning, went up to Arkansas, put two big days on the Arkansas River, because that's where the last central is, then drove from Arkansas to Ticonderoga, New York. We did it in 2 days, but the second stint was 18 hours. And when we got here, ever since then, I've been up, alarm set at 4 a.m. And off the water at 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock if I get off early, but usually 9 o'clock. Bed at 11, alarm set at 4, up again. So I've done that every single day until now. And then today, off the water early, I got on my tackle rigged and everything, and I finished up about half an hour ago in my tackle, in my truck. Everything's fueled up and ready. I'm about to eat something and then go upstairs and look at the weather and look at my trail, look at the mapping, and be up, alarm set at 3:30 to get my co-angler and head to the ramp. So that's been my last week.
And that's it's machine-like. It is very, it's machine-like.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And when this tournament finishes, my rod sponsor from Australia flies in, and
Miller Rods, right?
From Miller Rods, yep. And every year he's flown in and done 10 days with me in different parts of the country, and I've taken him to different lakes and showed him as many different techniques, and we've trying to design a full rod range to suit American bass, and basically to help me out. So he built me a full rod range, and this time he's come over and we're doing the whole northern trip to work on the smallmouth and some of the northern largemouth, and we're working our way to St. Clair. And after 10 days, he flies out of Detroit and goes back home. And then from Detroit, I'm going to drive straight back down to the Arkansas River and put another week on there. I'm going to put 7 days on the Arkansas River. Then when I finish there, I'm going to drive back up to Detroit and then pre-fish for another 5 days on St. Clair. Then fish the St. Clair Open, hopefully 3 days. And then as soon as that's finished, I'm going to drive back down to Arkansas, and then it'll be the official practice for my final Central Open.
You're an animal, Carl.
That's crazy. All right, a couple more questions, and then we'll let you go. One is from the instant feedback. Frank in Michigan wants to know, which open trail fits your style best?
It's really funny because the Northerns should, because smallmouth are very similar, and I love chasing smallmouth, but I've actually haven't done that well on the smallmouth. They've always eluded me, you know, when I've had really good practices. So I would say the Northerns actually suit me, but for some reason this year and every year, the Centrals and if you're going to say what suited me best were the toughest events. If it gets cold and it gets tough and the bite is hard, that's when I seem to be able to do well. When everyone just smokes them, that's been my weakness, is because I've just targeted fish and not gone big or go home, where you have to in those ones where everyone catches big bags, kind of like here. So hopefully I've learned from those experiences and can bring in a big bag this week. So I'd say the centrals in the rivers and the tough events definitely suits my style.
All right, Matt's going to kill me for asking this, but I got to know. Do you know Jason Belamonte?
I think you've asked me. He's a bowler.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally.
You've never met him or seen him or ran into him or anything?
No. There's more than five people in Australia.
I know that, but he's been the PBA Player of the Year like the last 3 years.
Well, obviously, who doesn't know that?
Yeah. You knew it?
I did not know that meaningless stat.
It's not meaningless if you bowl.
If you took him fishing, would you have to cast with both hands? That's my question.
Yeah. See, his big deal, like it really, he doesn't care, man. He's trying to make it to the Elite Series, but he was really the first guy to come out and bowl with two hands, and he just happened to be from Australia.
Yeah. We have, in our sport, in Australia, we have a lot of really good sportsmen, and it doesn't matter how good you are at golf, motorbike riding, who I've got a good friend who does that, motocross, football, anything, you can be the best in the world, but if you stay in Australia, you can't make a living out of it. You can slightly do it, and it's the same with fishing. I can do everything I can in tournament fishing in Australia, but I still would have to have a job and then do it as a part-time thing. So every one of the sportsmen moved to Australia.
Hey, Carl.
Once they get to a certain stage.
Carl, okay. Do you know Greg Norman?
Come on, man. All right, two more questions, and we're going to let you go. And I don't care if you think they're stupid questions. I just want to know. First one, do they still have Australian rules football?
They do. It's very popular in Australia, but more in the south. But yeah, Australian rules is huge. They get some of the biggest crowds in Australia for their football.
They used to show it on ESPN, but they don't show it on American TV anymore.
Okay. Yeah. It's either people either like rugby or AFL. It's called AFL. So you're either a rugby fan or an AFL fan.
Okay.
Is that kind of like FLW and Bass?
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah.
The coolest thing about Australian rules football are the dudes by the posts in the white jackets and the white hats and the black ties. Matt, you would do a great job doing that, Matt. I just want to let you know. The Nature Boy
for me
would be straight up down to be, I don't even know what they're called, gold judges or whatever. I don't know what they're called. Yeah.
Stylish and professional at all times.
They are cool dudes. Very, very cool. All right. The last question, obviously, we've talked about what your goal is to reach the Elite Series. Let's say you do qualify. Do you have, right now, do you have the resources available to where, from a sponsorship standpoint, it really wouldn't be, for lack of a better term, a burden on you, and you could totally focus on performing your best at the Elite Series without having to worry about any of the financial concerns?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think there's a lot of people just watching right now, and I think once I step over that line, I'm going to get the backing and support, and especially coming. I pretty much have an entire country behind me, which is very, you know, I've got a lot of support, and if I make this happen, it's going to be big for Australian fishing, and I think I'm going to definitely get that support that I can, then I can just 100% focus on doing well in the elites. And, you know, 2 years ago I missed the elite by 1 point through the centrals. James Elam was 1 point in front of me. He was eighth and I was ninth, and he made it and I missed. And back then it was like the worst thing that ever happened to me. I just thought it was shattered. And now it was the best thing that ever happened to me. As long as I make it this year, because I wasn't ready back then, but now if I make it this year, I'll be ready when I make it.
All right, cool stuff, man. Wish you the best. I know when you're around Matt here, I'm going to go ahead and give you some advice, and hopefully you will take it. Please take care of him, okay?
Come on,
Mark. Please keep him in order.
Come on,
Mark. Please take care of the nature boy, all right?
Jeez.
I'll try.
Cut me some slack, man.
It's a battle. I'll try.
All right, man. Good luck to you. Thanks for coming on. Wish you the best this week, and we will have you on soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl, I appreciate it, boys. Thanks for that. Good to talk to you.
All right, take care. All right, there you have it. And that's cool stuff, man. That is fishing for the country of Australia.
Yeah, I mean, when it happens for him, it's going to happen big. It really is.
Oh, man, Todd, I'm sorry. That just came in. The instant feedback was not instant. I'm sorry.
What happened?
He wanted to know, and maybe you know, because you've been around him for a while. Hang on a second here. Where's it? Are you still using super light line? That's what Todd wanted to know.
Oh, Carl?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was, when he first came over, I'm calling him out on it. He was throwing a square bill on a spinning rod with braid.
Really?
Yeah. And I made fun of him. We were fishing a team tournament until he cast 40 yards further than me and felt everything and caught more fish on it. Then I kind of shut up.
All right. I have, and I'm sorry, Todd, about that.
I don't know if he is now.
Maybe. I'll tell you what. Send him a text and see if he'll answer.
You know what? He does use super light line, but one thing about Carl, and that's why I think he'll catch him when he makes the Elite Series, yeah, is if there's something he doesn't know, it's not like he just learns how to do it. It's like he'll go do it for a week and a half every day, daylight to dark,
yeah,
until he's very good at it. So I know power fishing was one of the things he picked up, because apparently the perch that they catch over, yeah, in Australia are very finicky and require a lot of finesse, as do the bass. I guess the barramundi are the only thing that are kind of rough and tumble.
Yeah.
And so he kind of had to learn the power fishing thing. But, I mean, he had Rambanis as a teacher, and Fred's a pretty darn good power fisherman.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, good point. Is this evening music?
This
soothing.
This music makes me regret poor life decisions.
I've made a few of those. I just randomly hit. I was searching for night music, and this is what came up.
You want some good night music to relax? Some good evening melodies that aren't depressing and not overly joyous? Do a little Thomas Newman. He did the soundtrack to Road to Perdition and Cinderella Man. Some great classical tunes with a modern twist on it. But
all
there's
right.
some good tunes there.
All right, I'll take our final break. Come back. I have no idea where Mr. McClellan is. We'll have to...
He's not stiffing us. It has to be a connection.
No. Absolutely.
Deal.
Mike's a huge supporter. Really likes what we do. So it's obviously he's in a place where... cannot get connectivity. So we'll be right back to wrap things up here on the evening show. Everybody stay tuned.
Hey, Charlie, what's with the dark glasses? I never seen a tuna in dark glasses.
You don't see tunas with cigars every day either.
Oh, come on. What's with the shades?
I'm going up to the Cyphers for a look around. Like the sun hurts my eyes, you know?
Ooh, what's up there?
A star-kissed tuna scout.
A star-kissed tuna scout?
Get it, kid. It never make the weight. Besides, it ain't what you are, it's who you know that counts. You gotta have connections.
You got connections?
My brother-in-law. Star-kissed took him last month. I'm sure he put in a word for me. Hey, what did I tell you? They sent for me. All right, cut the comedy.
Sorry, Charlie. Only the finest prime tuna is good enough for Starkist. More people like the taste of Starkist than any other tuna. Try it and see why.
Tell them Charlie sent you.
All right, we are back, wrapping up the evening show, BTL.
Dude.
Yeah.
We got to play that every time Charlie Hartley's on. That's his new theme music song commercial.
Sorry, Charlie. I love those old commercials.
They're pretty good.
I remember one of the field trips I remember when I was in elementary school.
Is this before or after you were a child model that was featured on Hasbro Gaming?
Actually, it was after. We did a tour of the Starkist Tuna Factory, where we actually saw the tuna get processed.
Did you walk in, look around, and go, something smells a little fishy here?
No. That was weak. Very, very weak.
What was it? I was talking to someone today, and I was giving them random fun facts. And I said, Mark Jeffries was a giant red-headed child model.
For Mattel. Yeah.
They would not believe me. What was it all? What game board were you featured on playing?
It was
like Chutes and Ladders?
No, it was Hot Wheels. It was when they came out with the brand new track sets that you connected them together.
You were on the box.
On the box for the Hot Wheels set.
How do you not have one?
Dude, I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you have one?
No.
Have you looked for one?
Yeah, when my dad passed away and we went through all this stuff that I didn't even know existed, didn't know. I'm sure it got thrown away when they moved.
Is it collectible? Is my question.
No.
Like, is it something that we could put our man Dave Rush on and he could search eBay?
He might, but I think it was 1968, maybe? 68 or 67.
I'll tell you what. Any of our viewers... This is legitimate.
If they find a Hot Wheels box.
I have a $100 bill. $100.
Will you pitch in
$100 too?
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
We got $200 right here on the show.
If
someone can
box.
Find the Hot Wheel box that Mark Jeffries' child model is featured on.
Yeah.
One more time, just the gritty details.
It was either 67, 68, or it was the second or third years that they actually made Hot Wheels, and it was the first time that they came out with these mini track sets. Because like 5 years after that, they came out with what is called the Powerhouse, where they had these spinning things that you put big flashlight batteries in and they would spin around and the car would go through like a car wash.
What are you doing on the, what does it look like? How would they know that it's you?
I'm putting the track together is what I'm doing on the box.
Wait, I mean, what? Hat, no hat, feather hair?
No, I had short hair then.
Does it look like Jeffries?
Hang on.
What is the child Jeffries look like?
Here, I found this picture. I don't know if they could see this.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
This is what you're looking for on the Mattel box.
Just a smaller version.
I was going to blackmail you with that photo and now it's gone. Going a little closer. A little closer.
Right there. Right there. Look at that. Man, I was styling and profiling in military school there. I think that was like third grade, fourth grade, something like that. I don't know.
Did any of your friends recognize you? Like, were they like, hey, you're on the box?
I didn't have too many friends then, man. I really didn't.
We had similar
childhoods. I was kind of a loner, man. I had no brothers, no sisters.
Same here.
I did what I had to do. I marched, I played, I went to class. I mean, that's pretty much what I did. And did a commercial.
I caught butterflies in the yard. My dad dropped me off at the Rock Springs Pond when I was 8 and said, I'll pick you up after work. And I had 2 spinning rods and a can of worms.
I really, you know, didn't do a whole lot. First fish I ever caught was a trout.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. So
with Pops, right?
With Pops. Told that story at Pops' funeral.
He did.
Can of corn. Never thought that a can of corn would catch trout, but it did.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Champlain, 20 pounds a day? More than 20 pounds.
It take for the Everstart?
I don't remember.
Right at around 20 a day.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's so bunched up at that event. It's that way. It doesn't matter what
especially
tournament is there.
Because
they're all bunched up.
There was an Everstart last week.
Yeah.
And it's no secret how that was won. And all those guys know it. And guys are in the Opens to win the Opens. And if you're going to be able to get down to tie 3 days, I mean, that's not a secret.
No.
Is it?
No. Heavens no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's like saying the Decatur Flats on Wheeler or...
Yeah. You know, all those ledges on Kentucky Lake that people... No.
A ledge out in front of Paris on Kentucky Lake. Yeah. They're just all...
They're community holes.
Yeah.
If you're part of the community.
The Honey Creek Bridge on Grand.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's just... It is what it is. What was the other thing, man? There was one other thing I wanted to mention to you.
You got 3 minutes to remember.
I know. The bad beat, seeing Jeff Reynolds' wife. There was something else
Vince
that took
Falk.
Place. And I cannot remember, and I knew I should have written my list down, but I didn't do it. Oh, well. Tomorrow... We will not have a show tomorrow. That's kind of like we did the evening show, and then we'll have Kent Brown on Friday, and Boyd Duckett, hopefully, get him back on
you
here.
You can have me en route to the college national championship.
Yes.
Do you know how they're doing that? I want to talk about this for a brief second. You know, we'll have by, what, Tuesday? We'll have a 2015...
National champ?
No, classic qualifier.
Oh, good point.
And the last one...
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
The last one, in case you weren't paying attention, darn near won the whole tournament. Darn near won the whole classic.
Yeah.
I literally was 30 minutes away from winning the classic had he made a decision on day one 30 minutes sooner.
Yeah.
Lee would have won.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something to kind of pay attention to. And it's... They do... What, they practice for like 3 days, then they fish for like 3 days, then they have a bracket for 3 days. It's pretty much like a Carl Jochumsen style tournament. And they have the national champion, and then they take like all these guys and they bracket them down. So I think, if I have this right, I think Saturday the national champion is crowned. Tuesday you get your classic competitor.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind.
All right, they can mark this down. We will do evening shows for BTL when the event in Philly is taking place. That I do know.
Okay.
All right. They will be probably on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday will be a day show.
Speaking of which, you know, since I'm leaving, I probably won't get to... Can you, like, provide me with a map of, like, do not enter areas around Philadelphia?
I can do that. You know you're going to have to go to the airport to pick up Dave.
I had problems parking.
At midnight.
I had problems parking in West Point, Georgia in an open field, mind you.
There will be plenty of security at the weigh-in site. I have been told that. So no need to worry. Just get out of there by dark. Can
hey,
I have you guys
You
booked?
Want variety? You want different? You don't want anything vanilla? Hey, you got to give it to Bass for putting it in downtown Philadelphia
hey,
on a river
know.
That no one knew had Bass. With 8-foot tights.
I want to know how many of the Broad Street bullies are going to show up, because it's just right around the corner.
I'm just saying, you want to complain about a vanilla schedule? There's nothing vanilla about what's coming up, unless it's Travis Manson's yogurt.
I thought it'd be cool if somebody showed up in a supplemented jersey with numbers on the back, and black and white
the
stripes.
Broad Street bullies.
You finally got that one.
Yes.
All right. We're out of here. Back on Friday. Everybody have a safe Thursday. We will talk to you on Friday.